Hello and welcome to All Points North. This week we'll be putting the rainbow flag into your Pride celebrations. We're discussing gay marriage, LGBT rights and Pride events.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
Hello from All Points North, the podcast that's all about making sense of Finnish news and views. This week is our last podcast before we all go off on a well-deserved summer break. But not to worry, we'll be back in the autumn. And joining me for a pre-summer show is Egan Richardson. Welcome, Egan.
Thanks, Denise. It's wonderful to be here as ever.
That's great. This week we have a Pride special ahead of Pride Week, which starts on 25th June in Helsinki. Our guest is Lauren Stevens. She's a Brit living in Tampere and working towards a master's degree in global and transnational studies. Did I get that right?
I actually changed programs. I'm actually studying peacekeeping now. But okay. I was studying that before, yeah.
But it all sounds
yeah,
related.
It's kind of similar, yeah.
Anyway, welcome, Lauren.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Lauren, you moved to Finland to be with your girlfriend, and now you're planning to get married. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You settled in Finland back in 2016. That's 2 years ago now. What has it been like for you?
Yeah, I think it's been really different because I studied Spanish during my bachelor's degree in the UK and it involved living in Spain for a year. And then after I graduated, we were kind of in a long-distance relationship. I met my girlfriend when she was an exchange student in the UK, and she came to visit Spain, and then I moved back to the UK and graduated. And we were kind of thinking, oh, we can maybe live in the UK, maybe she can move to be with me. I think that's what kind of her dream. And I was trying to search for jobs and applying for like different positions, and I thought maybe I'd like to do a master's, but it's like super expensive in the UK, so yes. I was like, that's not going to happen, I don't want more debt. And she was like, oh, you can come to Finland, like you don't have to pay tuition fees. I was like, seriously, I'm coming. So yeah, I thought maybe it would just be here for like a couple of years and then maybe we'd move to the UK, but now because of Brexit and stuff, I was like, yeah, no, maybe not.
Well, we've heard that story before. Yeah. Was it difficult for you to settle into Finland and into Tampere in particular, where you're living now?
I wouldn't say it was really difficult. I think the main issue for most people is probably the language, but I took some Finnish classes, so it's kind of helped a lot. I think people are pretty welcoming. Of course, nothing's perfect, but I've tried to get involved in different things, and yeah, I'd say I'm pretty happy here. And now I'm kind of thinking I want to live in Finland. And now that gay marriage is legalized in 2015, was it? Or no, 2017. Sorry, I should
That's
know
right.
this now. And yeah, it was 2014, the UK gay marriage. Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to ask about that, actually. I mean, because it was gay marriage was legalised in Britain before it was legalised in Finland. Mm-hmm. And how has the change affected your life and your partner's life as a gay couple in kind of concrete ways? Because there are lots of implications to this that people don't really realise until it's explained because of the implications and the cascade of regulations into different areas of everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess gay people are a kind of minority, so it wouldn't affect the most people. I wouldn't say that it's directly affected us yet, only in that we're planning our wedding now, so at least I can concretely visualize that we're going to get married, whereas before it was kind of just an idea that I kind of thought it would happen because it was being debated in the parliament. I thought it would happen eventually. But yeah, I guess it kind of shows that Finland's maybe more accepting and open to change. Of course, I think it's a little bit slow with the change in the church at the moment because we want to get married in a church. We're both from Christian backgrounds, and I've kind of had a negative experience with that because, I mean, you cannot generalize gay people and say they're like this and. Christian or any religious person and say they're like this. Everyone's different. But yeah, I've kind of was made to choose between them. And of course, I don't see my sexuality as a choice. So, you know, I kind of got pushed away from that. And I'm scared to kind of go back to those roots because of the way that people have been treated and the way that my friends and me and my partner have suffered because of that. And we're looking to get married in the church. And I know it is possible, but we were looking around Tampere for a priest or someone. And there was like two priests who would be willing to do that.
How does that process go? I mean, how do you find a priest that's willing to do that?
Well, in Tampere, we have this Satangari Messe, so like a rainbow mass for gay people in the church. Okay. We've been to a couple of those, so we were just talking to people to find out if they know anybody. And then we came down to a couple of people who we could ask. And it's also that we want to have a bilingual wedding in English and Finnish, so that makes it a little bit more difficult as well. Yeah. But hopefully, I mean, we've had one person say that they would support us, but it's just that at the moment they're kind of discouraging
church weddings,
yeah, church same sex weddings, and they kind of, I'm not exactly sure, but they kind of say they're going to punish the priest somehow.
That's right.
I can understand. I've met people who say they won't do it, and I understand if you've got a family dependent on you, you don't want to take any risks with that. So,
I mean, how senior do you have to go to book the church? I mean, because presumably when the booking comes up, somebody within the church will know. They'll know this is happening.
I'm not exactly sure yet. We haven't got to that process yet because you have to book like a year. It can be like only a year in advance, and we're booking it for like late summer. So later this summer, we'll find out. But at least I think that one of our reasons, because we're kind of active on Facebook groups, and we thought it wasn't even possible. And then my girlfriend said she saw some discussions on there, and people were saying, like gay people were saying, it is possible to get a priest for your wedding. And it's in a way maybe nicer than going to a maestrati, like the registry office, because there I've heard some horror stories where you just get some random person you never met. They can't pronounce your names properly. They don't know anything about you. Whereas with the church, you get to meet the person in advance, and I think it's a little bit more comfortable with that. So that's what I like about that. Yeah.
Still on the question of the gay wedding, your wedding is still a year away, a bit more than a year away, as you say. Are you kind of hopeful that there'll be some movement in the church between now and the time that your wedding date comes around that would allow you to get married in the church without fear of repercussions on either side for the officiating minister, or, well, certainly not for the celebrants, but on the part of the officiating minister?
Yeah, for sure. I hope that this would happen. I'm not sure if it will. I think it, compared to when the marriage was legalized, like last year, then it's already changed quite a lot, and things have already moved quite quickly. But also that I think there's a lot of this kind of mentality with the gay community and Christian community. It's like them versus us. But through this like Satangari Messe or the Rainbow Mass, I said, there are people who are gay and Christian. You don't have to choose. Like, you can be both. It is possible. And I think that I think the church kind of has a right to operate as it wants, and I think you can get married in the registry office and that kind of stuff. So I think marriage isn't maybe it's based in religion, but it isn't necessarily religious anymore always. So I think that we can't really necessarily force the church to do something like that. But on the other hand, I don't think it's right to kind of pressure people out of the church and be like cherry pick who's going to be in the church, and you can't have
sort of defies the whole message of Christianity, doesn't
it? Yeah, that's what I think. You can't have like there's this quote, what was it? It was like, oh, the church should be like a hospital for the broken, not a museum for the perfect or something. And I mean, that no perfect people exist, so it kind of feels really hypocritical to just say you can come and you can't. Yeah. And actually, I was surprised about this Rainbow Mass thing because I've never come across it before. I'm sure it exists in the UK, but I was really happy to find that in Tampere.
Actually, I wanted to ask you a bit more about that. What have your experiences been like in Finland compared to the UK in terms of being someone who is both Christian and gay?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I'm not sure I'm Christian anymore. I kind of have the belief there, but it's kind of been pushed away from me a little bit. I'm not really practicing, at least. I've just been to a few of these masses to see how it is. And I think that there's this assumption that if you're gay, then you must not be religious. They can't go hand in hand. And I do understand that to some extent they do kind of contradict each other. If it depends how you, it really depends how you interpret the Bible or whatever. I don't know. It is really challenging. There are people who are both religious and gay, for sure. The congregation's quite... I was surprised how many people were at the congregation at these events. But I would say more culturally I've experienced differences here. For example, public display of affection. I think culturally it's not such a normal thing in Finland. But
oh God, no.
So even if you're even if you're same sex, it's still weird just because... generally it's weird. You don't really see people holding hands on the street that much.
Showing emotion in Finland is a very
I would say that I've had anecdotally a very different experience here,
really?
In Finland of public displays of affection.
All right.
And maybe it's because, and I have to say that I've seen it mostly in Helsinki.
Okay.
And quite, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
not so much during the cold, dark months, but definitely during the summer. Yeah. But let's move on. And
I wanted to ask a little bit about how has your family and your partner's family reacted to this? What do they have any hopes for the wedding?
Well, my family's been super accepting. I haven't had any problems with that, and I basically didn't really have to come out because I just told my mum, and then she called everyone and told them.
She did it all for you.
I don't have to do it anymore. I don't mind. It was fine. It was everyone's fine. And I mean, I don't really know if it's my place to talk about my partner on the radio.
Okay, you don't have to.
I know that she's has a lot of kind of, she comes from a religious background, and it's been challenging for her, especially, I know for sure. So... yeah, I mean, but my family's fine and they're super supportive, and my mum's just excited and on the phone to me tell me, I want to know what's happening.
I'm very happy to hear that. I want to ask just very quickly one quick question, because we did promise to talk about Pride.
Okay, yes.
You haven't been to Helsinki Pride, have
Not
you?
Not yet.
But you have been to Pride events. What are you looking forward to if you're planning to attend any Pride events in Finland this year?
Yeah, well, we actually just had Tampere Pride last week. And I guess, the main event for me is the march, of course. I think it's a lot of fun, and you have the music playing, you can dance, and you see your friends there. And I was actually surprised, compared to when I first moved to Tampere, that there's a number of people participating. It was pretty, I've been to London Pride, so that was a different thing, but that's huge.
Huge, yes.
But the Tampere Pride, I was surprised there was several hundred people, and at least from my view, it's grown over the years. But I would say that maybe, I don't know if it's okay to say, but I think maybe the Helsinki Pride is more commercial. You have these kind of floats and this kind of stuff, and companies supporting political parties. Whereas you have that, I think we had the feminist party participate in the march, but that was it really. There wasn't really many companies, or it's just literally a march of people. And you have events like parties and discussion events about safe sex and this kind of stuff. So yeah, I guess it really depends on the person, which things you want to participate in. So I guess for me it's important because you kind of remind people that you exist, and I think some people kind of get sick of it, hearing about this all the time. And I've heard people say, oh, why do you need a gay pride? Why don't we have a straight pride? And I'm like, well, are you a minority? No, I didn't think so. So at least not normally. So I was kind of I think, and I know I've heard of some people, even gay people being against pride. And for a while I was like, why? And I guess I've been thinking about it. That, I don't know, maybe people think that it reinforces the stereotypes because you have guys walking down the street in little panties and angel wings or something covered in makeup, which is totally fine. But I mean, for me, pride is about showing how everyone's different. I don't know if my girlfriend's gonna get mad at me for saying this, but before we were going to Pride, she was I don't look gay enough. And I was like, what does gay even look like? You just go as yourself. And it's just important. You don't have to gay up and put hat on or something.
That's interesting.
Just go as yourself.
Gaying up. Yeah. Gaying up. That's new.
It sounds like a way to make everyone comfortable.
But moving on, That's a very interesting insight. Thanks for that, Lauren. Moving on, I think it's time for us to get our audience involved in the show. And as usual, we invited questions and comments on Facebook as well as on our WhatsApp number. And we should point out here that some of our Facebook followers, like John Pittock, wanted to wish you all the best on your upcoming nuptials.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I saw, I read a few of the comments.
So. Great.
Lauri Echeverria also pointed out that the same attitudes that same-sex couples face today, the negative attitudes, I guess he was referring to, were also faced by interracial couples, for example. I mean, have you faced any hostility or opposition at all?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this question, actually. I haven't personally, actually, not in public. Maybe, like, if I talk about this Christian thing and my Christian background, then for sure. And it really depends how you define hostility. If someone's coming to me and saying, oh, like one of my old friends said to me, oh, you define your whole identity on your sexuality, which is not true. Mm. Oh, you need to deny your sexuality and come back to Jesus and all this stuff. Mm. And oh yeah, it was just it's hard to know what to say to that. You just can't argue with those people.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it but sounds really difficult
on the street. Like, I think it's also because my girlfriend is a teacher that she doesn't want to hold hands so much out and about because. And I guess I kind of understand because
kids are evil.
Not that. I think the kids are super cool. But, you know, with the parents, you never know what the... No. The kids, the things she tells me that the kids say at school is really cute. Like, oh, can a boy and a boy can't get married? And she's like, yeah, they can now. And it's really sweet. But I think that she's mostly nervous that the parents might, you know... Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. I think the boss is super supportive. I don't think that anything would happen. But, you know, it's... is always a risk, and apparently people have given us evil looks before, which I haven't. I don't even pay attention. I don't care.
Finn's expressing their feelings, and nobody knows.
It's probably just a normal face,
yeah, like, yeah. Resting beach face. as they say.
But now, I mean, I've got friends who've been through things, like friends who've been physically hurt. I think it really depends also on your parents. This is what I was going to say, that I think we still have a lot of work to do, and this is why we should have pride, because we need to see that people look different. And because I'm not like, or anyone is particularly masculine or feminine, it doesn't necessarily say anything about the sexuality. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of reinforced with the gaydar concept, which I mean, maybe it's kind of true, but then, like, I don't know, not always. And I think if people, like, I have friends maybe who are more masculine or feminine, and then they would more easily get hate, whereas me, I think I'm kind of in the middle somewhere. I wouldn't say it's obvious, like, fleshing out like gay. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it depends on the person, what you go through. I think in UK, people tend to be more vocal, and if they're angry, they will, like, say it, whereas Finland, I think they were more, like, thinking, just whisper something, but not shout at you. So it's been okay. I haven't experienced anything too bad.
Another one of our Facebook commenters, someone called Roland Koren, he talked about the church, the Finnish Lutheran Evangelical Church, still not being keen on allowing gay marriages in churches. That's something we talked about a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And you sort of hinted at the fact that you're coming out and the attitude of the church may have helped estrange you from the church a little bit. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I guess, like I was saying about my friend, or my old friend, who kind of said these things, it's just, I don't know, it's really hard to say with people. I think we should just all accept each other, and, like, as we are, and I think just trying to change things that cannot be changed. And I mean, in the past there's been problems with sexism, there's been problems with racism that still exist. And I think that I would hope that they would improve in the future. I hope that they would never be there, but I, to be honest, think that there's always going to be this kind of attitude. As long as it has existed, it's just going to continue. So yeah, I can kind of, because I've been part of the church in the past, I can kind of see their perspective. And it's really easy to, like, when you're in this box, of kind of people with a certain view is really difficult to see outside the box. And until you meet like a gay person and realize that most of us, pretty much all of us, don't have a gay agenda, and we're not trying to turn everyone gay. Even if you want to believe that, that's usually not true. So, you know, I think it just takes meeting just another person. It's in there, just another human being. I hope I'm not the devil. I'm not like crazy or. And the same for the gays and the Christian community, to meet Christians who are like gay Christians, or just I have some friends who are accepting. And there's also this thing about the Islamic community. I mean, in Islamic countries, sometimes it's quite like people really suffering physically, but also the same in Christian countries like Uganda, where they have like witch hunts for gays, and it's crazy. But in my experience, I've had like my Muslim friends have been super like nice about it compared to my Christian friends who either say nothing or have been a bit harsh.
Interesting.
Some of them are fine, but like, yeah.
It wasn't all negative. Ken Moss on Facebook said that it's great that gay marriage is allowed. Now gays can be as miserable as the rest of us. No. I personally heartily recommend marriage. It's a wonderful wonderful thing. But what do you make of it?
I think it's pretty funny. I think it's good to have this kind of lighthearted thing because, you know, it's a serious topic and it's easy to be negative. And like I've been saying, all these negative things. And yeah, I'm looking forward to married life, even though it slightly terrifies me, but still, it is easy. Yeah,
to go to nothing to be terrified.
I'm sure it's probably just the same as usual, just with a ring. And
yeah.
But yeah, I think there are positives. Like, I think in Finland, it's definitely not the worst in the world, not the best, but I would say, you know, there's not that many countries that have the equal marriage on a global scale. So, I mean, I haven't experienced anything really terrible, just minor things,
yeah,
which you could pretty much experience anywhere. So that's just me personally. Other people I know have had different experiences. Mm-hmm. And so yeah,
Ken should lighten up.
I think he is being lighthearted, actually.
I think Ken's pretty funny.
Maybe in his home life.
Thanks for that, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for that, Lauren, and thanks, Ken, for that lighthearted look at marriage.
All Points North. News from Finland.
If you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909.
Now it's time for a roundup of the main news stories from this past week. Don't forget, you can keep up to date at our website, yle.fi/news. First up, Moroccan national Abderrahman Bouanane has just been convicted on terrorism charges by a court in southwest Finland. Bouanane has been sentenced to life in prison for a knife attack in Turku last summer. He's also been ordered to pay the victims and their families more than 450,000 euros.
And a report published on Thursday suggested that Finland needs to speed up handling of asylum applications to try and prevent alienation of asylum seekers like Bouanane. The group said that a negative asylum decision, which is handed out quickly, is often better for the applicant than a long, drawn-out period of uncertainty.
And another new report has slammed the Immigration Service for failings in the asylum process, particularly in translation services and treatment of families and children. Interior Minister Kai Mykkänen commissioned the report in May following controversial asylum decisions relating to families and minors.
Police in London arrested a 29-year-old Finnish man on Monday on suspicion of involvement in a terror plot. Finland's Security and Intelligence Police, SUPO, said that it is cooperating with UK officials on the case.
Ilya Janitskin, the founder of the nationalistic anti-immigrant website MV Lehti, is on trial on charges of aggravated defamation and persecution of an Yle journalist. Along with a co-defendant, Janitskin faces more than 20 charges, with prosecutors asking for a prison sentence. He's denied all of the charges.
A record number of citizenship applications were approved in 2017, according to Statistics Finland. Russians accounted for the largest number of new Finns. Other countries high in the ranking include Somalia, Iraq, and Estonia.
In other news, about half of pensioners reported having occasional problems paying bills. About 10% said they regularly cut spending on items like food and medicine. Retirees who most feel the pinch include low-income earners, disability pensioners, and single people.
Finn's faith in the police remains solid, with 95% of respondents in a recent poll saying they trust the police. However, 4 in 10 respondents said they consider it likely that there is corruption and unethical behaviour within the police force. That's up from 1 in 4 in previous surveys. Respondents also criticised officers' ability to listen and their treatment of immigrants and the disadvantaged.
And finally, another poll found that 4 out of 5 social workers said that the government is failing in its bid to reduce inequality. Respondents also said that there is room for improvement in national benefits policy. Up to 70% said that the level of basic benefits, such as labour market support, are currently too low.
And don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest news at wiley.fi/news.
And unfortunately, folks, that's all we have time for this week and indeed this spring. But we'll be back again in August after the summer break. I'm off to the Piispalan Sotisi Folk Music Festival this weekend in Tampere to see this year's creation, which portrays what they call the life of 20th century industrial workers in an urban society, drawing the mood from ramping up the operation and the various stages of cotton milling, nursery rhymes and games, the genteel dances of young adults and the evening social dances of working people.
I do love the genteel dances of young adults. It sounds like exactly your kind of thing. I'm not sure what it is, but it definitely sounds like your kind of thing. Personally, I'm definitely not sitting on the sofa all weekend watching football.
No.
But instead, I am heading west to Music by the Sea, where it says here the maritime ambiance of Inco and its medieval church will breathe new life into familiar and less well-known works of chamber music.
I had always thought of you as a chamber music type, Egan.
Can't get enough of the chamber
definitely
music.
Definitely not a football type.
Definitely.
Lauren, how about you? What are your plans for the weekend?
Maybe going to the summer cottage or going to spend time with my girlfriend's family.
Yeah. Are you in the midst of wedding planning yet, or is that still far, far away?
Yeah, we've started. We've been viewing some venues, but still some things
to
do.
Do you have a favourite yet?
Yeah, we do. We decided this week we think we have a favourite. So.
Can you let us know, or is it a secret?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
sounds like Egan is angling for an invitation. Anyway, as I said, that's all we have time for this week, and indeed this spring. I am Denise Wall, and my co-presenter this week has been Egan Richardson.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank you to our special guest, Lauren Stevens.
Thanks for having me.
Our producer was Mark Odom, and our sound engineer was Laura Cosso. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back in August with a new season of All Points North podcasts. And over the summer, don't forget to stay up to date at our website, wiley.fi/news. And if you've missed any, do listen to previous editions of the show at wiley.fi/allpointsnorth.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.